Well, we know that with the laws of our land, which undoubtedly will not get any better anytime soon in this particular area, for many children, there is no life after birth. Millions of unborn being destroyed on a regular basis. And the Bible couldn't make it clearer that God recognizes life from conception. Do you believe that? Psalm 139 says this. It says in verse 13 and following, "You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden." That means that word means bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes, that's God's eyes, saw my unformed substance. That would be what scientists would call the zygote stage, right after the split. I mean, this is early in the pregnancy as you can get, right after conception. "In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them." The Bible, as well as logic, knows no middle ground between not being and being. Did you catch that? The Bible, as well as logic, knows no middle ground between not being and being. You either are or you aren't. You either exist or you don't exist. And throughout this passage and others, we are referred to as existing from the very moment of conception. But our children, like this little guy, they can die in more ways than just one. And that's what I want to talk. That's the burden of my heart today to all of you that are parents. I want you to recognize that your kids can die in more ways than just one, by way of abortion, even though we celebrate life from conception today. Take spiritually, for instance. They're already dead spiritually. I know that sounds morbid. I'm holding a beautiful little live baby boy. But God says he's dead spiritually. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says this got passed on to us by Adam. Have you ever read that? It's for just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death, that sentence, passed and spread to all men. For all sinned. And the implication is everyone sinned in Adam. He is our head. He's our seminal head. And so we have a spiritual death problem we have to deal with in our children. That's why they need the gospel. Our children need the gospel. At the earliest of age, they need to know that Jesus died for them and rose again for them. And don't be afraid to tell them about Jesus at the earliest time in their life. Remember what Jesus said to those who were trying to shoo off the kids? "Let those little children come to me. Don't forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." I was pontificating with a bunch of friends of mine about 25 years ago. I can still remember it. And talking about how so many false professions are made at the youngest of ages. And I made this comment to my friends. I said, "I hope my kids don't get saved until they're 9 or 10 years old." Well, unbeknownst to me, God was laughing up in heaven. Because the very next morning, my daughter came to me and told me that she had asked Christ to be her Savior. She was 3.5 years old. And then she took me into her bedroom and actually reenacted the whole thing right in front of her mom and I. I didn't know what to do. I mean, I've been pontificating. I mean, there's no way she could have been saved. I called my friend up who discipled me. I said, "This is what happened. What am I supposed to do?" My friend says, "Well, fall on your face and thank God he just saved your kid," which I did. Our kids die spiritually from conception. Let them live by giving them the gospel. as often as you possibly can. They also can die through spiritual malnutrition. We're so big on dieting. We're so big on fitness. It's an obsession with many of us. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 4, he says, bodily exercise has value, but godliness is profitable in two ways. It has the promise of the life that's now and the life which is to come. The thing about godliness is it helps you here and it helps you later. Bodily exercise only helps you in the here and now. We just had a fantastic pastor deacon retreat. One of the highlights of it were to hear the testimony of our freshman deacons, Jeff Hardy. Unbelievable. Wonderful testimony. And then Dick Over, who shared his story, which we need to have his, you need to hear his story. You need to hear Dick Over's story. But to be raised by these couple of patriarch and matriarchs of our church here, some of the last of the Mohicans, Harold and Ellen, Ellen is 90 years old. Harold is 117. They weren't perfect parents, but they were consistent parents. If you listen to Dick's testimony, there wasn't a day that they didn't have family devotions. Open up the Word of God, pray. And Dick wasn't a perfect kid. He allowed his life to go south spiritually. He sort of flatlined for the longest period of time throughout his teenage years and even into his adult years. But he could never forget the things that he was taught. Never. And God came back to him in a powerful, powerful way. Our kids need to live. Don't let them die. Don't starve them to death. Peter puts it like this, as newborn babes desire the pure milk, the sincere milk of the Word, that you might grow up into salvation. This baby needs the Word of God. He needs a pacifier too. No, you don't need that. We'll keep it right here in my Bible, okay, Ryan? So, we can kill them. They're in so many ways. They're already dead spiritually. We can kill them through spiritual malnutrition. They need the Word of God. They need socialization. I mean that sincerely. We can kill them through social stifling. Colossians 3, Paul says this. Fathers, in fact, the Greek word is probably better translated parents. Parents, do not provoke your children, look at this, lest they become discouraged. That's an interesting word. The Greek word discourage is the word which we get our word fire from this word. And the negative at the beginning means to take the fire out of them, to take the spirit out of them, to gut them of spirit. That's the idea. If all we do is lay down laws, if all we do is don't do this, don't do that, never listen to them. Never listen to their heartbeat as they develop and get older. We start to destroy. You start to gut them of spirit. That's why they need the gospel. They need the Bible. But they also need you. They need me. My son that plays basketball needs to know that I love to watch him play basketball as much as I like to watch my other son wrestle. And I mean that, not jokingly. They need to know that. We're not competing here. My daughter, who's wrestling with decisions about the future, needs to know that I'm listening to her, that I care for her, that I don't just say, no, this is the way it's going to be. End of discussion. Don't stifle them socially. I got to tell you, so many of us who have teenage kids, you know how frustrating it can be. You talk to them and they just don't say anything back to you. It's like they forget to talk for 2 or 3 years. To you, anyway. I can remember when we first got married, Our oldest son, Nathan. You know Nathan. Nathan don't talk much, okay? That's why he don't say too much. Man, a few words. He'd come out. He was already graduated from high school, but he was 18 years old. He'd come out and he'd plop himself down in the morning and have breakfast by himself before he went off to work or school or whatever. And his mother would dutifully get up there and sit down and talk with him. Now, I'd be in the other room, and I never heard Nathan. I mean, I might hear him say, yep, mm-hmm, yeah, okay, sure. But I hear his mom talking the whole time. But and she never tired of that. And I really grew to appreciate that earnestness in her life. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to talk to my son. And we need to do the same. Don't provoke your children, lest they become dispirited. And then we can kill them through an undisciplined upbringing, can't we? This is always difficult, isn't it? How much discipline? Much, less, too much, too little? Eli is a study in an undisciplined parenthood with Hophni and Phinehas. You can read that for yourself sometime, 1 Samuel, the first several chapters. He ruined his children's lives through a lack of discipline. The Bible says, "And train up your child in the way he should go. And when he's old, it won't depart from him." He won't depart from it, the training. The word train, by the way, is a word literally means to put in the mouth. You know, and so I don't know what Ryan and Rachel are putting in this little guy's mouth. He doesn't want that anyway. But you know how it is. You put sweets into the mouth of these kids, and they want sweets, right? You can control their appetite when they're really, really little. After that, forget it. That's what the word train means, to place in the mouth. And we have to be disciplining our children through giving them direction by speaking to them words of affirmation, but also reproof and rebuke. They need to get spanked. He might be a little young for this. But they need to experience pain, relatively so, in association with their disobedience. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you. And that you what? Anybody know? And that you may live long on the earth. I've shared it years ago, but I mean, that scripture came virtually true for me. We're walking across the street as a family to go to the Pizza Hut one day. Very busy highway we lived on. And I was waiting for cars to go by. And finally, I said, okay, let's go. What I meant was, let's go as a family in unison at the same time. Of course, my six-year-old didn't quite catch that. I said, let's go. And to him, that meant, take off. Well, there was still a car coming on the other side. I was sort of timing it. He took off, running right into the pathway of an oncoming car going about 40 miles an hour. I just yelled out one word, Caleb! And as soon as I yelled, he stopped. Literally, his clothes fluttered as the car went by. And I thought about that verse, not the one we have up, but another one where it says, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Disciplined lives, including things like groundings and losing privileges and verbal rebukes, but also praise and encouragement and direction. They need discipline so they might live. One more thing, because our time is up, I realize. But you've been a good little guy. We can kill our children with hypocrisy. One of the biggest killers in the life of a home is hypocrisy. We can't You can't expect your kid to listen to your advice and ignore your example. It's not going to happen. They're not going to listen to your advice and ignore your example. Our kids are so impressionable. The other day, my son wrestled in his first meet here a couple weeks ago, and we all came out for it. And my little three-year-old granddaughter's there, you know, and she's watching it. And it's, you know, she's watching. She's never seen a wrestling match before. And she's pretty concerned about what's going on. And afterwards, everybody's cheering because he won. We're all happy, except our three-year-old. She is not a happy girl. She's very upset. And her mother asked her why she was so upset. She goes, "I don't want Daniel killing that boy." Well, somebody had said he killed him. And she thought he did. Don't kill the boy through hypocrisy. He needs the gospel. He needs the Bible. He needs socialization. He needs discipline. And he needs integrity. Doesn't he? He needs integrity so that he can live. Let them live. Solomon put it like this in Proverbs chapter 20. He said this, "Most men will proclaim his own steadfast love." That's just the nature of men, isn't it? But listen to this. "But a faithful man, who can find?" I'm looking for him. The faithful man, who can find? God says, the righteous man, here's what he does. He walks in his integrity. And guess what his kids do? Imagine that. They're blessed after him. They follow after him. And they're blessed. Let them live. They need the gospel. They need the Word of God. They need socialization within the home. They need discipline. They need integrity. And some of you need salvation. If you ever desire that this little guy to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it should start with you. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, you need to believe the gospel so that you can live. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Father, thank you so much for this day that we can remember life. And I do pray, Lord, for all the children in our church, babies all the way up through the high schoolers and college kids, that they might experience in their respective homes some semblance, Lord, of genuine gospel, Bible, socialization, biblical discipline, and integrity from mom and dad, so that they might live. Let them live, Lord, and let them live because of what they have been influenced by. And I do pray for those who are here who have never asked Jesus to be their Savior. They need to be born again. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We'd like to thank you for listening to our weekly podcast. We'd also like to invite you to visit our website at www.saylorvillebaptist.com. Drop us a line and let us know how we can serve you better. We'll see you next week.